It's Thursday, April the 17th, 5:36 in the afternoon in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. I'm PJ, your internet pastor, if you will. If you don't want me to have a title, just call me John. I'm glad that you could spend a few minutes with me. Soothing music, isn't it? Well, let me talk with you about being naturally fitted to steadily believe. What would ever cause you or I to falter in any way as a professing believer? What and who? We've been taught all of our lives. And I'm not saying that the teaching was not true, because I do believe in demons. I know that they exist. There are demonic creatures in the world that buffet people's lives. I know that. But I'm speaking about something a little bit different. I would like to look at today, how do we go forward in the face of, I would say, seemingly total defeat? Because that's what we want to come to understand. How do we go forward in the face of total defeat? Defeat all around us. Defeat in what, John? Okay. Pushing a principle that practically someone asked me, are you going to church on Sunday? And I got it. I put it together. Resurrection Sunday. Okay, I had planned on doing a before resurrection webcast and have it up on my website by Resurrection Sunday. But no, I'm not going. I told the person I didn't plan. And I don't plan it. And why should I do that? When I recognize the historicity of the church, I recognize the churches, and I'm speaking as the organism here on earth. I'm not talking about the one that God spoke about in heaven, because I don't want to be a part of the organization down here on earth, because that is not the church. The church would not love what I love, or love who I love. The church would not. Listen. Listen to me for a minute. When one thinks about steadily believing in something, one of the ex-members of the church came by to see me yesterday, and this is what he told me. He said, he sounded very similar to some other people that have been speaking with me recently. He said, the people that were in the church loved you, John. They didn't care who you were or what you were about. They just loved the vibe that you put out. And I kept asking this man, what vibe? I didn't know that a pastor puts out a vibe. That is beyond me. I never saw myself as a person that had some kind of, seriously when I say this, some kind of power over other people. that God has given them, because God has called him to speak to the minds and to the hearts of the people. And so this power that supposedly Jehovah gives these pastors, I've never had that. I've never experienced that. I never wanted that. So I don't know what that is. Power over the people. That cannot be anything truly biblically Christian. That is the furthest thing from it. Interesting, because as I reflect upon my philosophy classes, the second paper in the philosophy class was The Mission, and they just finished the movie. And in this, it shows a hypocrisy of the Catholic Church during the 15th century, late 14th century, when they raped all of the known... Oh, man, come on. And the church knows about that. And I'm teaching a world's religion class, and I have to show these things to people, what people do in religions and what countries and everyone does. It hasn't given me a sour note. It's just that I view the world from truly an open perspective. I don't view it from a crammed, segregated, isolated group of people that have ideas about life that maybe necessarily I never had. I never had those ideas. See, I've always known that the earth was created in more than just 7 24-hour days. I've never believed that day age story. There's a lot of other stories that I just didn't get involved in that kind of jargon back and forth over the radio, because radio time costs too darn much. So I never went there. There's a few other things that I can go into, but that's not important now. But I'm the same John Goldman, having thought through everything. So I'm fitted to steadily believe, because I'm only believing in God Jehovah now. And the reason that I do these webcasts, I'm trying to help many of you. Do you recall in the Bible when Paul was writing someone and he said, I would that these things would be yours except for these chains? Well, let me share this with you. I wish I could sit at home and not think about other people. I wish I could sit at home and say, okay, I've done enough. I'm going to heaven. I just had two young men in my office. At first, there was one young man. He came by here before. Okay, just to visit. Just to visit. And he said, I want to invite another friend of mine to come by. And I said, why do you young men want to come by here? And he said, you see when he gets here, just like when he brought his other friend by here. Wisdom. They are ripe for it. I'm talking with them, and they just say, yeah. And then when they try to talk around issues, I look right at them and say, no. I said this. Look at me when I talk to you. And they look dead in my eyes. And they say, man, check this out. We feel enriched talking with you. I want to know why everyone in the organized church cannot have a relationship with every person they meet, especially the ones that are in need. Not bragging, because you know, PJ, I'm going to continue to do what I have to do until I die. And I hope, well, no, I shouldn't say, do I want to survive that long? Yes, I do. Because I want to finish the work that God has given me to do. Whenever I bring these lessons to these young men, and one of them said that his mother owns a kind of a business, and he said, we'd love for you to come and talk with a bunch of my friends. And all these guys are about 21, 22 years old, like that. And he says, come and talk with a bunch of my friends, because we have no one to sit down and just shoot it with us and talk. You know, the way back in the day, when I was a young man, we had that. We would go around the older men, and the older men would sit down around us. Yeah, they don't have that. It's just great. Another great evening. And with that humming in the background, I got fans going, refrigerators going. Come on. The Lucy Coleman Studio's filling up in here. I'm telling you, I need to chill out. It's kind of like doing underground radio, talking to a secret amount of people that I'm trying to share some good word with. Let me give you some Bible today. Let me grab my book.
Oh, thank you. Here it is.
Let me turn on the top light, because I'm going to need some light. Alrighty, there we are. And let me grab my readers. And we're going to deal with the subject matter the way we ought to. Unlike a lot of people that think that it's popular to call themselves God, I don't do that, because I believe that there is only one Lord and one God. And I'm going to read from you from the fifth psalm, that's psalm number 5. And it's a psalm that shows us a man is asking to be protected by God from people that might harm him. And there are people that would try to harm you. As I live more and more in this godless age, and I say godless because a lot of the people just don't believe in God anymore. The longer I live in this godless age, I see more and more. Oh my goodness. A friend of mine from New York City asked me to type in New York City train fights. I did that on YouTube, and oh my goodness. And he was trying to prove the point to me that people have lost their minds. That they have literally lost their minds. And I have met people like that. And my goodness, my goodness. Well, I just had a thought, and I can't tell you about that because I just paused. I have to tell you what happened. I thought about something in my own life that was terrible, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it. I won't go beyond that. It's terrible, and I don't know what to do about it. Because I don't think that there's anything that can really be done now. The damage has been done. So all I can do is put a Band-Aid on an open sore. So I know how you feel. But look what the psalmist says in Psalm 5. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning, or my musing, my meditations, what I think about. I need God to help me sometimes. It's not about just helping the congregation. God, come to my aid. Oh, I have the mouth, I'm always talking. I seem to have all the words just right. I'm the professor of some sort, huh? You know I'm feigning it, just pretending. Because when it comes to you, I'm nothing. Then I keep reading. Give heed to the sound of the cry for help, King and my God. For to thee I do pray. In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to thee, and eagerly watch. Oh, I like that. The psalmist tells God about it, and then he's looking to see what God is going to do about it. That's great. For thou art not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with thee. You see, here in this verse, I try to tell people, if I tell people that you're evil and wicked, I know what an evil and wicked person, I know who they are. And God says, see, because I don't believe that I'm evil and wicked. I don't believe that I'm evil and wicked because I tell people the truth. I don't believe that I'm evil and wicked because I speak about the church that's fallen on hard times. I don't believe that I'm evil and wicked in any way because I correspond with people that are not straight all the time. I'm not evil and wicked because I do that, nor are you. Now look at this. For it says, no evil dwells with thee. See, oh my goodness, how many times do I hear conservatives talk about the liberals? The Republican news agencies over the Democratic news agencies. Back and forth, back. No. It says right here, no evil dwells with thee. See, the psalmist wanted to go where God was. That's all I want to do when I leave here. I'm not trying to go where whoever, where the liberals live or where the conservatives live. They are not my bedfellows or bed sisters or whatever. And it says, the boastful shall not stand before thine eyes. He's right. The psalmist is right. And me reading the scriptures, I'm not boastful. I'm just giving it to you the way a T.I. is. Now let's continue to see the way the psalmist is crying out. He says, thou dost hate all who do iniquity. Now you can look up that word iniquity. It just don't mean missing the mark. Iniquity means when you do iniquitous deeds. You do it because it leads other people into it. You do it to subterfuge, to fool the other person, to get them to gravitate to your own lust. Oh no. It said, thou doest destroy those who speak falsehood. Then he says, the Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, the psalmist says, by thine abundant loving kindness, I will enter thine house. At thy holy temple, I will bow in reverence for thee. You know what? I love that because I pray that that's exactly the way it'll be. And I'm going to say this. You guys can misunderstand me if you want to. I'm not misunderstanding who I am and what I'm saying. I don't know what heaven is going to look like. I don't think that when we go there, that this body that we have now is going to be seen in any way like that, if seen at all. I have no idea. I've never had any idea. The idea is one that keeps me looking away from all of the dirt down here, all of the pain, all of the turmoil. The idea has redeemed me from these wicked streets of Los Angeles that I was born in. The idea kept me, along with the great part of my nature, in one bed with one person. The idea did that. The idea did that. And that idea is Christianity and all that it teaches. Christianity holds you in place. It holds you steadily in place. There's a lesson that I learned in all of the years. If I'm naturally fitted to steadily believe, there's a lesson that I've learned. And the lesson is, I should have been living this for me for all those years that I was living it for others. Now, I had no idea that I was living it for others until, like I told you earlier, the brother told me yesterday. He said, man, them people was coming to see you because they liked the energy you put out. I said, what do you mean? You know what that brother told me. He said, John, they never could do it because they never believed it. And they liked you because you energized them. You gave them hope. At that moment, I thought about the need of the preacher for the Negro, which is a slave mentality situation. I never told this friend of mine that told me that. That's what I got out of the conversation, but that's what I did. And it repulses me even more when I think about it. That anyone could look to me above what? All of us are a creation of Jehovah God. Lest we were spawned by one of Jehovah's angels called Lucifer, lest we were spawned by one of his genetic misfits. If you are not spawned by that breed of creature, you are God's creation, and you are loved by God. And God would want you to worship him and to thank him for what he has given you. Simple theology from a simple man in a simple form, in a simple way. And check it out, each of us, including me on the mic and including you listening, each of us knows that all of us have been ruined. We're ruined by sin, ruined. I don't mean it like these Baptist preachers say it. I'm talking about ruined by something about our nature that is just dirty, it's gravelly. It's in the pit. And it reaches up and it pulls us down. And we want to reach up. I mean, I got the symbolisms. Pit, so you see dark tar stuff sticking to you that you don't want on you. And when you think of heaven, you think about white, clean sheets, everything like Johnson baby powder, all good and padded and soft. I know those kinds of word pictures work for certain people. I don't do that in my head. I've never done it. I used to do it when I was a very young Christian until I saw some of the Christian storybooks. They had me reading the little children. It was like a Dick and Jane storybook. But that's the kind of material they had coming from the Southern Baptist headquarters. I'm just being real with it. We had nothing else. That's all we had. You get my drift. Not only am I talking about a certain amount of transparency, but I'm talking about just the whole life. I'm naturally fitted to steadily believe because as I see, everything came in around me, even the church. And I have to say that first. Not because there's a verse in the New Testament that says that judgment begins at the house of God. Do you know how they use that? These preachers always use it. Most of the time are using that verse in terms of some kind of sexual scandal or some kind of money bribery or some money scheme that all of you bought into because you were just whoring for money in the first place. And I mean whoring like a whore does. A whore wants more and more and more of it on both sides of the fence. So does a client. We know what life is all about here. God knows what life is all about. And I'm not being unholy and inhumane. I'm trying to break through this and so that we can communicate. How does one make it steadily as a believer? It's because they have to be fitted. See, I'm thinking, wait a minute, man, John, do you believe? No, I don't believe all that stuff that the organized church taught me. I don't even care about that. I keep no man's covenant. I am associated with no man's... I have degrees on my wall. It means nothing if I burn them. The education was mine. I earned it. They're mine. If no one ever sees the degree. Those kinds of things should be passed on to people that love you, that people want to say, I had the privilege of knowing him. But if the house burns down tomorrow night, there will be no mementos of my nothingless life. Do you get my drift? When you live and work and breathe for Jehovah God, you love him. You love he who created you. And he will give you the desires of your heart. He will. But you got to stop playing. You've got to. Now, how do you know that you love him with all your heart and you cannot even love your neighbor that you see? I'm going to tell you, you got to love a young man that loves to come and talk with an older man. You got to see the way they look up in your eyes when they talk to you. You got to see the hunger in their eyes for wisdom and knowledge. Some of you brothers that are listening to me are pastor types, educators. I bet nothing. Have you ever loved anybody? Have you ever loved anyone but your own children? I'm going to bring this stuff home today. I'm sick of this bull crap coming from you so-called hypocrite. You hypocrite. Have you ever loved your own sons? You ever go in your son's room and just stand in the corner? If he got his own room, or if he got two boys in that room and they sleep, you ever go in there, sit down between the beds and listen to them breathe, watch them turn over, watch them move? You ever put your hand on the bed and pray for them boys, which without opening up your mouth and let the tears flow? That's what I did for my babies, for my baby girls. That's how much I love these young cats I'm ministering to. Have you ever, those of you that's in the church, have you ever loved anyone to that degree? Have you ever? Because if not, you are not naturally fitted to steadily believe as a believer in Christ. If you know anything about the Christ and his love, that love has to be carried beyond where you are. No. I don't expect a young person to believe what I tell them. Why might I do that when no one in my generation has convinced them of anything in the past 25 years? Anything. But what I will spend the rest of my life doing is opening up that door of communication through the auspices of love. Unrestricted by stale, worn-out tradition that barely loves their own kind, let alone a world that is in need of the love of the Christ. That's the love I'm talking about. No, I don't know the way Jesus looked. I've never been that concerned. But I envision a figure talking like Socrates long before Jesus was born. Because see, people have been talking like Jesus for years. It's not the first. He's one of many, but one that is very unique. Because of the many that I've read about and that I've studied about, none of them have left a part of themselves with me like this man has. I'm telling you, and you know what a lot of people think? Oh, no, John got this thing for his love for men. How come he don't love women like that? Oh, trust me, there's enough men out there that love women the way you talking about, you dirty-minded fool. I'm not talking about that. See, I know people very well. There is no true, listen, and stop fussing with me. You know what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it, because I've been saying it for years on this website. When I see love flowing from the hearts of God's people in this land, now, you finish it. I said this whole land. I didn't say in a little corner of town. I said the whole land. And the only way that that is going to happen is that if the majority of people in this land extol the God who created the land and them. I have my ideas about how we got here. That's neither here nor there. You can go to the Bible for that if you want to. But I'm saying, if we do not extol or honor or pay homage to God. See, you got this holy weekend coming up and everything. I'm not talking about no day, about no eggs and rabbits and stuff. And if you want to do that stuff, go ahead. The pagans been doing that for thousands of years. I mean, everybody knows those stories. You go ahead. I'm not trying to stop you. But I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about some lightweight God. I'm not talking about all this. And I'm not talking about nobody's God. The God that I worship made everybody. Everybody. Everybody human. The God that I worship. Now, since he made all these people human, he never had an intention for us all to eat the same kind of foods, to live in the same kind of huts. Okay? To live a certain kind of lifestyle. He never intended for any of that to happen. But he left that upon us. And I've read the indictment against the evilness and the wickedness in the world, where God had to destroy it. And he said he's going to destroy it again, but the next time with fire. I believe that with my true heart. I don't know how it's going to take place, but I believe, and I hope I don't live to see it. Because I don't want to live to see that. But I will tell you, I do believe that. I believe that. I believe that because humans are wicked. Human beings are wicked people. They would try to take the throne of God from God if they could. There are certain people like that. That's why they won't worship him and extol him. Now you asking me, why did God lead this preacher here? He's no longer a preacher. Why don't he die like those other gray-haired preachers? I don't know. God told me when he called me to preach, you would tell them whatever I told you to tell them to. I tell you to shut up. So I'll be in this Lucy Coleman studio doing this. Like Kevin Nash, bless his heart, he told me, my equipment is outdated, archaic, and antiquated. And I said, brother, as long as I can get another broadcast up and out is all I'm thinking about. But I think deeply about my society. Deeply about how people feel, deeply how the church has turned inward. The church has never been outward. Oh, I wish I could find that old video thing I have of me going up and down Central Avenue. I was in South Park witnessing the people. I remember that I was a young man. I was just starting to get a gray patch in my hair. That was my heart. And I thought that the whole church had a hard for that. But whenever you ask the church to go out and love somebody and do something, in any church you go to, you will find just a few volunteers now and then. Most people don't want to go out and do that. They don't want to tell, hey, they don't want to tell anybody about a God that they've never met. How can they do that? I thought that everybody wanted to share the God that had washed their hearts and give them this great love for each other and everybody. Don't you want to share that, man? When God shows you that all of us can live together, truly, really, in peace and harmony. In peace and harmony. God showed me that we can do it if you love that brother. I had a brother ask me. I had a brother. He said, could you love a brother if he was trying to come at you and hurt you? I said, all right, if you two brothers in the office jump me right now and pull the knife and say, we're going to stab you to death because we're wicked. He said, wouldn't you resist? I said, I probably wouldn't. And he said, why? I said, I'd be too busy loving you. Loving you. You're touching me. And I'm touching you. What do you mean? But we're killing you. That's what they were asking me. I said, but you're touching me. That was my wish from the beginning. I love you. It doesn't matter. What? You see, when Christ said, Father, forgive them not, for they know not what they do. That's what he was saying. It doesn't matter what they do to me. No, Christ isn't going to become the God of hatred because they nailed him up. So why should we? See, that's what that part of the holiday is all about. That's what they've done with it is ridiculous. They've really messed it up. Let a 70-year-old man tell you, hey, you can look at some of my old sermons. That was back in the day when it was free to speak like that. But now people wouldn't even know what you're talking about, man. Hey. Figure that new methodology to reach these people, because you're not going to reach them with the methodologies that. And don't blame it on Obama. Don't blame it on that. It's the spirit of the age. Everybody's going into globalism. Everything is globalistic. I heard on the news today that Russia, the U.S., they worked out that thing on Kyiv. They're going to loosen it up because they said, man, we can't be killing everybody. See, they don't want to make the same mistakes that their grandfathers made. That World War I, World War II crap. That was a horrendous error. Because they know that one more like that would decimate the globe. And then it would be a world that would not have too many white people in it. So they can't start another European bloodbath over there. So they're trying to work it out. Now, they're trying to work on that Syrian down there. First time, no, not first time. There's a lot of African men do that. They kill their own people to make a point. That shows you how wicked we are. See how wicked? See, that's wickedness. You'd kill your own people, women and babies, to make a point. If you are a true Christian, a true bona fide, forget all that West Bank Christian and all that evangelical mumbo jumbo. If you was a real Christian, you would be out in the middle of the Tel Aviv square or wherever, hugging that brother, kissing him on his neck, saying, I love you, my brother. And he said, damn, man, me too. This show do feel good. Let the camera see that. That's what love looks like. I don't know what's wrong with people. You know what? They spend so much energy hating other people. And doing all that stuff when all they have to do is, oh, I wish I had a Beatles record. Love, love, love. I love that little song back in the day of the Beatles. I have a Beatle album around here somewhere, but I won't dig it out. Well, let's see, 39 minutes. That's pretty good. That's how PJ survives. See, I'm naturally fitted to steadily believe. I don't need. Listen, I don't need. My brother asked me, you going to church on Sunday? I said, what? What, to hear the story? Wait. You want me to go to church on Sunday and hear these young men tell the story? I be looking in my Bible trying to figure out where they talking from. Because they're not going to tell the story the way it was told when I was a baby boy. So I'm not going to one of these newfangled no, it would not do well for me to go, just like it would not do well for me to Listen to this and try to get it within its perspective. If I was born 200 years from now in Los Angeles, California, and grew up, I probably would know when I looked at the church that it was something strange about those people. But it was so naturally for me then, because the world was far more innocent than it is now, and then it will continue to diminish as the years go on. Since this, I believe, is taking place, we're diminishing in everything. I've diminished in certain aspects of my life. I'm just truthful enough to say it. And it appears that we don't know what to do. And there used to be a time when, you know what, there used to be a time when you could get the whole family together and say, come on, let's pray, let's ask God to bring us through. You all remember those times. Now the first thing you do is, well, who's doing what to who? Who got the most money? Who can survive it? Well, how can we get them back? Well, you don't love me. Well, you did this, you did that. Well, God knows that I talked to him, and for about the past 2 years, I haven't put my personal life out on the airways, because that's the kind of man I've always been. But it's not about me that I'm concerned about. It's about some other folk that I love very, very dearly that I'm concerned about. And I just like those of you, without me going into detail, to remember me in that way. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Sorry at the end for getting all mushy and everything, but I'm human too. I'm human too. But sometimes I need other people that are truly believers, to pray for me. This isn't for me to have money or anything, but for some healing to take place in some people that I know. Some healing. Because if there's no healing, there's going to be more tearing. I'm talking about a real human event. Even in PJ's, Pastor John's life, if there's no healing, there's going to be more tearing. It has to come. Oh, wait, I can't stop this webcast. I can't do it. 43 minutes. You know why I can't do it? Because it goes back to what I'm saying. We're wicked people. And the only thing that could bring us out of that state of wickedness, out of that tearing, out of that pain, is when we focus our attention upon God and ask God to give us peace. And if the majority of the people want to do that, but you have one person that won't do that, man, you know, you feel trapped when you got wickedness all around you and you can't get them the hell out of your hair. See, because wickedness eventually will affect you. If it remains around you, that's problematic to me. It will affect you and infect you. And you have to remove yourself from it. That's why I said in the Old Testament, remove the wicked person from amongst yourselves. Yeah. Well, there you got it. Did you read it? I hope you did. I'll leave it out there just like that. Thank you so much for coming to my website, listening to the webcast. This is PJ, and I hope to have one up. Oh, yeah, on Sunrise Easter Sunday morning. I'm going to, Lord willing, have a what I call the old-time Easter sunrise service. and see what PJ has to say. All right. I'll talk to you then. Bye. Stay in the Word.